Now I'm loud. All right, Doc, let's do this thing. It's a little different. Sunday this morning, it's always a little different with us. I did a PowerPoint. It's not a good PowerPoint, but it is a PowerPoint. For those of you who really want to get a lot of scripture at church, this is your week. We are going through all of chapter 6 of John, and that's a long chapter. So I didn't want to leave you behind, so we're going with this. All right, this is the Far Side. Anybody know the Far Side comic strip? Yes, that-a-way. For those of you who were born last year, this is the Far Side. It's hilarious. So what's happening in this is that there's a bottle marked humans that fell and broke, and now they're running away, and there's a voice from the clouds saying, uh-oh, which I think is hilarious. So I see two schools of thought that are on an interpretation here. First, that people running amok is like just an accident, right? Like we were in God's chemistry set, and he accidentally like got the bottle with his elbow, and it fell, and oh shoot, that's not what was supposed to happen at all. My other possible interpretation for this is that God just wasn't done yet, right? Like, he was still fine-tuning. It was a little early to turn us loose, and now it's a problem. Okay, the reason this is funny to me is that it feels like that sometimes, right? The world feels like that sometimes. All the people running around going nuts feels like that sometimes. It's not actually the truth. The truth is we were very much designed in love, and now that we're running amok, we are saved by love. We are redeemed in love. So I hope you thought that was funny, because that's like the only funny thing I got this morning. Everything else is serious. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you designed us and that you save us in love. Thank you that you've given us your word so that we can know you better through it. Thank you that it's a living word so that it breathes life into us and it moves in us and changes us. Thank you that your spirit can dwell in us to bring this word alive. And we pray that you would speak this morning, that we would hear your words, that this would glorify you, and God, just let it all be your word. If anything is not your word, God, we pray that in this strong wind it would blow away as chaff, never be remembered again. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're starting a series today on sharing Jesus. And I want to tell you that this is not an evangelism series. But it is an evangelism series, but it's not an evangelism series. Because evangelism is sharing Jesus, and when a lot of people hear sharing Jesus, they think evangelism, right? Going out and telling people who don't know Jesus about Jesus. That's sharing Jesus. But sharing Jesus is greater than evangelism. So people think evangelism equals sharing Jesus, but actually, sharing Jesus is greater than evangelism. And now you know the extent of my math skills as well as my PowerPoint skills. Sharing Jesus is greater than evangelism. Or another way to say it is that sharing Jesus is the big circle in the concentric circles, and evangelism is a small circle. And you think, Mike, did you draw that? No, actually, that's the one I picked off of the internet. I liked that one. It's kind of like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. It's like, aw, that little concentric circle picture needs a home. So I gave it a home, right? Sharing Jesus is a much bigger thing than evangelism. Evangelism is crucial, but what we're going to look at in this series is how big sharing Jesus is. Okay, if that's not enough of a big picture for you, I'm going to do one more. there are different ways to conceptualize, to picture what the Christian life is about, what life following Jesus is about. And one is to say, and I imagine that Tom would say this, all of life is worship. All of our lives is worship. What we are doing here is worshiping God. So it's really a misunderstanding to say that for an hour and a half on Sunday morning, I worship, and then I have the rest of my week. All of what we do is toward worshiping, toward glorifying our Creator. That's one way to visualize it. Another way, this is kind of my bent, is all of life is discipleship. All of life is learning to be Jesus' disciple. So Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And we learn to do that in all of our lives. Everything about us becomes being a disciple of Jesus, learning to be a disciple of Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? How am I a disciple in every area of my life, in every hour of my day, in my case, in every hour of my night, right? How do we do that? Because when it comes down to it, each of these gives us a picture of the truth of what it is to be a Christian, which is, there is no life apart from God. There are no part-time followers of Jesus. There is no life apart from God. Life is in God. Jesus is our life. As C.S. Lewis writes, what cannot be admitted, what must exist or allowed, what must exist only as an undefeated but daily resisted enemy is the idea of something that is our own, some area in which we are to be out of school, like on our vacation, on which God has no claim. When we try to keep within us an area of our own, we try to keep an area of death. And that is why God is so doggone persistent about getting all of us. Because any part that we keep for ourselves, any part it's like, okay, I'm totally a disciple of yours, Jesus, except for in this area, that's an area of death that we're trying to keep. And God in his love for us will not allow that. So if you want to understand what this series, Sharing Jesus, is about, this is another way, this is another picture of what it is that God is our whole life. Our whole lives must be about God. Imperfectly, of course, because that's who we are, and grace abounds. But this is always our intention. This is what we are striving toward. This is who we are growing to be. Our lives are to be sharing Jesus. Sharing in Jesus himself, sharing Jesus with one another, being community, sharing Jesus with our world, with those who know Jesus. So we're being community with the bigger church and sharing Jesus with those who don't yet know him. Okay, big picture over, introduction over, starting here. John 6. If you have a Bible, awesome. If not, it's all going to be up there. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. Let me give you perspective on this, Jesus. That's not going to work. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." This is one dividing line for people who do and don't believe in Jesus. Do you believe that God literally took these 5 loaves and these 2 fish and God literally fed 5,000 people to their fill and got lots and lots of leftovers? Or do you think, you know, Jesus is so generous and he inspires generosity so that among the crowd, everybody realized, you know what, we need to share. And the miracle was that sharing spread throughout the crowd and everybody had enough to eat. Personally, I think John wrote it in this way to prevent other explanations. Listen to this. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, right? Words count. Of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. 5 barley loaves on their own could not fill 12 baskets, right? Even if you're saying this is a honking big barley loaf, it's got to be pretty big to fill a basket. There's 5. There's 12. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe that Jesus, who came into the world, interacts and does things supernaturally for his people, with his people, in his people? Likewise, the 2 fish went around. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. I'm getting it about the leftovers, leftover fish. Not as pleasant, I understand. But still, right? 5,000 people, 2 fish. I've seen Boone catch a really big fish. I've seen it, the picture on Facebook, right? It's not enough to feed all of us, much less 5,000 people. Then the disciples got into a boat to cross the Sea of Capernaum, and Jesus, he walked on water. So there's lots of sermons right in those next couple verses, and this is almost the only part of the chapter that I'm going to skip, but I don't want to focus on it today, except to say that's how he got across the water. And the only people who saw that were the people in the boat, but I don't think you'd forget that. If you saw that, I think that would stick in your mind. He walked on water. Miracles. Do you believe in miracles? All right, the bread from heaven. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there. They also saw that Jesus had not got into the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. They're doing a little calculation here. Then some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here? This doesn't make sense. I saw disciples leave in boats. I saw you go off by yourself. You're here now. We took the first morning boats. How?" Jesus answered them. You tell me if he answered them. "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us? Give us then, so that we may see it and believe you. What works are you performing?" Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. So just to summarize, those people who enjoyed that miraculous feast came looking for Jesus, which that's understandable to me, right? Like, really cool thing happened yesterday. Then somehow he got to the other side of the lake. I don't even understand how. What's happening? And Jesus says, you're looking for me because you like the feeling of a nice full stomach, not because of the miracle, not because of the act of God. Don't put your energy into just getting food that will eventually go bad. Pour yourself into getting the food that will last forever, the food only I can give you. And the people kind of miss the point, and they ask, so what works of God, what actions of ours to obey God's law, right? Because works of God means obeying God's law. To obey God's law, do we got to do? What will qualify as the right obedience on our part? And Jesus says, believe in the one God sent. That's the work of God which will give you life. And then the people respond, well, what sign are you going to give us, right? Because our ancestors received manna, so what do you got? And I just think this is funny, and this is exactly what we're like. Did I mention that yesterday, 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 people eating, and it says they saw that there was a sign from God and thought, this guy's got to be the prophet. And today, what, less than 24 hours later, you got a sign to prove this? And I just think, oh my gosh, when I ask God, God, really, please, we need you to provide for us. Please, are you going to provide for us? It's like, well, I have every other day of your life. I have all the 30 years you've been following me. I have the 25 years of your marriage. Yes, in fact, I plan to today. And yet, there's a part of me that's like, so what about today, God? Am I going to see it today? Right? What sign? Just because you've always provided, God, why would I think you would again? And God is, he is patient. God is patient, and he answers me, and he reassures me. And Jesus, in the same way, is patient, and he answers, yeah, that manna wasn't from Moses. Moses didn't send manna. It was from my Father. And Jesus is really big on the my Father, right? Like, he's really possessive about this. Because my Father sends the true bread, the bread from heaven that gives life to the world. And now the people are intrigued, right? Like, who wouldn't be? Yesterday, we had this awesome barley loaves fish feast, and today I'm hearing about, like, bread of life. What's this going to be? True bread, life-giving bread. Yeah, multiply that, Jesus. Let's see it. I'll have seconds. Let's do another sign. Give it to us always, they say. Remember that. And Jesus says, yeah, I will give you that bread always. Absolutely. What is that bread? Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. So that's the gospel, right? Right there? Anyone who comes to Jesus, Jesus will receive him, will never drive him away. He will not lose anything that the Father gives him. Jesus is doing the Father's will, and that if you see the Son and believe in him, you have eternal life. You join him in his resurrection. In his resurrection life, you overcome death. Jesus will atone for your sins, and that's part of believing. But the crowd doesn't love this answer. They're not psyched. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Wasn't there a scandal? How can he now say, "I have come down from heaven"? So Jesus, being Jesus, reads their thoughts, knows their grumbling conversation among themselves, it says, and he pushes it a lot farther. Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God." Okay, that's kind of cool. It's written in the prophets, and it's happening right this second. "Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh," says Jesus. It's not just that Jesus is the bread from heaven sent into the world to give people life. But to believe in Jesus means that we have to receive this bread, that you have to eat of this bread. And Jesus says that's his body. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Now remember, they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." That's what they said, right? How long ago was that? I'm going to say 4 minutes, if Jesus spoke slowly. 4 minutes ago. When many of his disciples heard this, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless." Remember they asked, what must we do to perform the works of God? And that's the answer. There is nothing you can do to give yourself life. Jesus gives life. "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." "Sir, give us this bread always." Because of this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. They're done. That teaching was the deal breaker. We're out. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. We've seen stuff. We've heard the word. We get this." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, for he, though one of the 12, was going to betray him. "Sir, give us this bread always." "No, wait. I don't want bread like that." Literally, Jesus taught this, and they bailed on him. They were done. They turned back. Cause and effect. And now we're down to it, really, right? Because the whole chapter builds to this. "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter, right? He has his moments. He has his moments, right? Because there's this other time when Jesus says, "The Son of Man must be betrayed and crucified and on the third day rise again." And Peter's like, "No! No, not the plan. That ain't happening." And Jesus, carefully considering how to gently correct his disciples, says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are doing the works of the devil and not of God." Bummer. So, you know, Peter's a little hit and miss, but he really hits here. This is just the way that I hope we would respond in this situation. Okay, yes, this is hard, but you have the words of life. And I know that. Where else would I go? And speaking honestly, I feel like I've had several moments like this in my life. Several moments of, this road is hard, this teaching is hard, this life is hard. And I would think about being done, but the truth is, you have the words of life. And I know that. And I've seen you heal me, and I've seen you save me. Where else would I go? Yes, this is hard. And it doesn't seem like he's giving any wiggle room. But you have the words of life. There is nowhere else to go. Sharing Jesus. The first thing, the primary thing, the thing we have to start with before we talk about anything else, is that there is no life without Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life, and we share the bread of life when we share Jesus. That's how we live together. "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me." Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in miracles? Because I believe in this one. And I think that this is a greater miracle than 5,000 people having a nice bread and fish meal. I really do. I think the fact that these ordinary crackers and these tiny little cups of juice become our life together in Jesus and think about all the awful people in here and all the sins that have been forgiven in this room and all the lives that have been transformed, who you were, who you are. And that's a bunch of us. And think about all the lives that we have touched. Think about the kingdom coming through our lives and tell me that this tiny little act that gives us life, eternal life, so that death cannot beat us, tell me that's not a miracle. Do you believe in miracles? Because I do. And Jesus says, this bread is my body, and this wine, juice for us, is my blood. And you have to receive it in order to have life in me. Now, we are a glorious, strange Dr. Seuss animal, and we probably have very different understandings in here about what this table means and what communion is. And the glory of it is we're all going to do this together today, and we're going to be in unity in Jesus Christ because we have life in him. And we're not going into the theology of exactly how this works. God knows, and God gives us life through Jesus Christ. So we're going to share this together. We're going to sing. We're going to distribute it all at once. And I just want you to take a little time. You're going to get the cracker and the juice. Take a moment and reflect. We are sharing Jesus together. This is how we share Jesus. This is first how we share Jesus. Yes, please. Yes, please. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you beyond all words for giving us life in you, for giving us your body and your blood, for giving us this miracle that we celebrate together today. And we pray, God, that we would remember there is nowhere else for us to go. For you alone have the word of life. You alone are the word of life. And this is the real food that gives us life in you. In Jesus' name, amen.